Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is written in our gospel for today, the last verse of our gospel, the 13th verse. Jesus is speaking and he says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here ends our prayer, our text. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the invitation to pray. Guide us to a deeper prayer life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This year for our vacation, Carol and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, which was 3 years ago. We went on an 11-day cruise on the Eastern Mediterranean Sea, visiting the city of Rome and the countries of Turkey and Greece. It was a great cruise. I highly recommend it. But before the cruise, we got off to a very shaky start. Our flight out of Chicago was 3 hours late. That meant that we missed the connecting flight in Munich to Rome. We got on an Air Italia flight later in the day, which was fine, but when we got to Rome, my luggage wasn't there. We learned quickly it was still in Munich. Because I took the time to fill out a form at the baggage department, we were too late when we got outside the airport to catch the shuttle that would take us to our hotel. Also, while we were in Rome, we paid for a tour of the Sistine Chapel and were given full assurance that there would be plenty of time for this trip. To make a long story short, there were circumstances beyond our control, and by the time we got to enter the Sistine Chapel, we were told we had 15 minutes to get through the chapel and get back on the bus to get to our ship before it embarked. I was not happy when we boarded the ship. This adventure was not living up to the reputation I had given it. It's dangerous to make promises that are not kept. Not only in terms of a trip, but more importantly, on the subject of prayer. In our text for today, Jesus makes some very big promises about prayer. Everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. But does that always happen? A husband prays day after day for his wife who is sick, and each day she gets weaker and weaker. Someone prays agonizingly to overcome his temper, and yet he continues to blow his top. A Christian prays that the world will come to know Christ. And every day, the number of unbelievers increases, and sometimes rapidly. What's the matter? Doesn't prayer work? Is it only a lack of faith? Our answer to that question depends upon our definition of prayer and what we expect. Jesus took prayer very seriously, not only in our gospel for today, but throughout the Gospel of Luke. Every time Jesus made a very important decision, he first went to God in prayer. And the disciples noticed that when Jesus did pray, there was a peaceful countenance about him and an intimacy with God. And so the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." That reminds us that prayer is something that is learned and not just a feeling that might be here today and gone tomorrow. Let's look then at what we can learn from Jesus teaching the disciples. I'm going to define prayer as relating all of life to God and all of the give and take that is involved. In other words, it will be as authentic and as exciting as our life. The way I do that is each week as I wrestle with the scripture lessons in order to prepare them for a Sunday morning and try to relate them to the very depths of my life. The supreme answer to prayer is fellowship with God. Our goal is to grow in a closer realization of God's presence. And that continues to evolve over our lifetime. Prayer isn't getting something from God as much as it is a relationship with a God of trust and love. It is blasphemy to think that God is a means to an end. That God is like a blank check or a Santa Claus who's going to give us a 2007 Ford Mustang. God does not just answer prayer. God is the answer to prayer. Prayer is not something that's tacked onto life. Prayer is the task of life. Our gospel for today is one of the much more parables of Jesus. As parents, we wouldn't even think about tricking our children, would we? If a child asked for a fish, you wouldn't give the child a snake. If a child asked for an egg, you wouldn't give the child a scorpion. If our earthly parents then give us what is good, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us what is best? The much more, that best that God wants to give us, is no less than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, how much more the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. The Holy Spirit is a communicator of God. The Holy Spirit empowered the disciples on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is the reign of God in our hearts. In other words, when God gives us the Holy Spirit, God gives us more and something better than we would give ourselves. I want to emphasize the idea of persistence in relating our prayer to God. Our gospel speaks of going to a friend for bread at midnight because of an unexpected guest. The friend does not want to get up and disturb his household, but he does so anyway. It's hospitality that's expected. It would be unthinkable not to answer the question, the request. It would be shameful to resist assistance and to refuse it. It is not logical for a man to get up, disturb his children, and short his supply. Nor is it logical for God to give us the love and gifts that God gives to us. God wants us to be unrelenting in our persistence in relating to God in prayer. God welcomes our requests. It is an honor to God and not an annoyance. God wants to know everything that's going on in our hearts and in our minds. Nothing is too extravagant or bothersome for God. Our prayers then are shamelessly presented to God. A number of commentaries I read last week defined this word persistent as shameless. To be shameless, He will give whatever He needs. We don't need to be shameful in approaching God even again and again. God wants us to approach Him boldly and confidently. I will close with three examples of that. While we stood in line to get into the Sistine Chapel in Rome, we stood there for 2.5 hours waiting along a very busy street that wound through the city, so busy we couldn't even get across the street. But those 2.5 hours don't sound as bad as you think they are, because I think it's absolutely fascinating to watch the people. And there is a scene that I saw many times, and I'm sure I will never forget it, and it's totally unimportant. Imagine, if you will, a woman of executive status who is wearing a navy business suit with high heels driving a motor scooter, weaving in and out of the traffic with the greatest of ease. And she has a look on her face that says, if you don't think I can do this, you just watch me, because I did it yesterday and I'm going to do it tomorrow, and I can do it today just the same. We can be as aggressive and confident in sharing our life with God in prayer. Another example. The evening meal on the cruise was elegant, to say the least. Three nights was a formal dinner to which we were to wear a tuxedo. We were a part of the second seating, which meant that we began to eat at 8:45, and we were lucky to be out of there by 11. We were to sit at the same table each night with the same people, who obviously would be strangers to us, so needless to say, we were a little bit anxious about how well are we going to be able to converse with these people. We were at a table for four, so the first night we met the other two, John and Jackie. In the course of the conversation the second night, Carol said, "My husband is a Lutheran pastor." Silence. That was going to make or break the conversation for the rest of the week. Finally, Jackie blushed and smiled and said, "I've been praying about this." She shared with us that she is a minister in the Church of England, the Anglican Church. And needless to say, we look forward with great anticipation each evening to our meals with John and Jackie. Later in the week, Jackie shared with us her call to ministry. She had a good job that she liked. They'd raised their daughter, graduated from Cambridge, and she felt God was calling her to ministry. She tried to run away from it. She tried to ignore it. It wouldn't go away. So finally she decided, "I probably ought to tell my husband about this, John." She did, and he said, "I too think God is calling you. I will support you 100%. She quit her job. She went back to school for 2 years. She is now able to preach and preside, working with another priest. Eventually she will be on her own. When she went to this church, they had to sell their house that they loved. They moved into a parsonage, a rectory, manse, whatever you want to call it. And once their neighbors found out what she did, they would no longer look at them or talk to them. We can be as persistent and shameless as God was in calling Jackie, as Jackie was in responding to God's call. Third illustration, last one. While I was on the cruise, I read this book entitled The Rapture Exposed by Dr. Barbara Rossing from the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. I just heard her speak a couple of weeks before that. In this book, she challenges the Left Behind series and more importantly, replaces it with something far, far better. She replaces the power of weapons with the power of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and relates that idea to many, many contemporary issues. It's an excellent commentary on the book of Revelation, and I hope to teach it this year in adult education. This book describes a shameless way of relating all of life to God. In other words, I would say, it's a book of prayer. I want to close with my gratitude. Last week I read someone who said, many times we make prayer more difficult than it really needs to be. An effective prayer could be only two words: thank you. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we had to go on this cruise. I especially want to thank you for the credit card we had from St. John's Lutheran Church of Bloomington, Illinois, in the United States of America. In Turkey, it's big business to buy carpets. We fully recarpeted our house. I promise to think of you every time we step on our new carpet. Truth be known, my life is a life of gratitude these days. I'm very thankful for my new call here at St. John's Lutheran Church. It is the answer to a deep and agonizing prayer. The future, as far as I'm concerned, looks very, very bright. And if it didn't, if it was dark and black, prayer is still a powerful way to relate to God. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.